Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our devotion this morning is the gospel lesson appointed for today. We read in Luke chapter 7, the first 10 verses as follows. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is the object of our saving faith, dear friends, faith is a topic of interest and discussion for all of us. As Orthodox Lutheran Christians, faith is one of the three solas, along with grace and Scripture. In our lessons this morning, we heard two fellow believers confess their faith. King Solomon confessed his faith at the dedication of the temple. "O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above and on earth below. You keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way." The Apostle Paul confessed his faith to the Galatians about Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. In our gospel lesson, we see faith in a place where we may not have expected to see it at this particular time or in this situation. Faith was in the heart of a Gentile centurion in the Roman legion. How true it is, isn't it, that the Holy Spirit creates faith in Jesus Christ completely apart from all human desire, all human ability, and all human decision. It is true that the Holy Spirit goes where He wants through the gospel to bring hearts to faith. And it wasn't just faith. Jesus, who alone could see into the centurion's heart, recognized this and called it such great faith. The faith Jesus calls great is a faith that humbly submits itself to Jesus' authority. And the faith that Jesus calls great is a faith that relies and fully expects God to act in power. This Roman centurion's faith recognized and acknowledged Jesus' authority. He recognized that Jesus' authority was connected to Jesus' word. And the reason he recognized that is because that was true in his own position as a centurion. He had men under him over whom he had absolute authority. He said, go, and they went. They said, come, and they came. He himself was a man under authority. One of his commanding officers would give him a command, and recognizing the authority of that word of command, the centurion would have to obey. Such great faith that humbly submits to the authority of Jesus Christ is to characterize our faith, because it is one of the characters of a great faith, a faith that does not question, a faith that does not argue, a faith that does not doubt or place conditions on obedience. A faith is great that humbly submits to Jesus' authority, an authority that our Savior expressed in his word. In this centurion's circumstance, it was completely reasonable for him to relate authority with Jesus' word based on his own condition. Reason is not the enemy of faith. Unless reason tries to knock faith off of its throne and take its place. I used reason when I wrote this hopefully well-organized and understandable sermon for this morning. You are using your human reason right now as you are listening and processing the words and fitting them all together in your mind and in your heart. It is by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to subject our human reason to our faith. So our human reason becomes, as Luther says, the handmaid, the servant of our faith. And so in that faith, we are able to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. The constant adversary and obstacle to faith is pride. Pride that will not listen to anybody else's word. Pride that will not heed or obey any other word than that which belongs to self. Pride which only wants me to set myself up as the final authority. When your parents told you to do something, and I remember doing the same thing, and I would ask my dad, why should I do this? And his answer was, because I said so. Because I'm your father, and I said so, meaning I have absolute authority over you. Was that good enough for us? Did we think, oh, well, okay, you have authority over me, so I'll accept that as the answer? Didn't our human pride try to get in the way and say, well, no, you owe me an explanation. You need to tell me why. Explain to me why I have to do this. We don't want to have that attitude with God. Why do we obey Christ? Why do we obey our God? Because He says so. He doesn't need to explain Himself to us. We don't need any other reason other than God's authority over us, Christ's authority over us, to believe His word, to accept His will, to go to Him in contrition and humility and place ourselves under His authority. This was the humble faith that this Roman centurion had in Jesus, that He would help his valuable servant who was sick and about to die. This battle-hardened veteran, and you didn't become a centurion without being battle-hardened, needed help for his servant. And he went looking for that help, and he had heard about Jesus and about the miracles that Jesus had done. And so in humble faith, he placed himself under Jesus' authority in faith for Jesus to heal that servant. What humility. In fact, did you notice that it's even the opposite argument that the Jews used for Jesus to help him? This centurion was apparently a kind man, a good man to the people that his army was occupying. He held them with some respect, and they respected him. And he had even helped them build their synagogue. And so they thought Jesus should help the centurion because they thought that he deserved Jesus to come under his roof and to help his servant and to heal his servant. The centurion, in humble faith that places itself under Jesus' authority, thought just the opposite. He said to Jesus, "I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." It was this spirit-wrought humility that filled the heart of one of these Gentile sheep who were part of that other flock, of those other sheep that Jesus wanted to call into his sheep pen. It was by the power of the gospel that the Holy Spirit brought this Gentile out of unbelief and into faith, to hear the Good Shepherd's voice, to become part of that one flock under one shepherd. And that's what Solomon was praying for at the dedication of the temple, that God would call other people, that God would call foreigners who would be loved by him and who would be part of his family, just like the nation Israel. In contrition and faith, place yourselves under Jesus' authority. Humble yourselves before God. Humble yourselves before Christ. Expect Jesus. Look to Jesus to use his authority to help you in time of need. To use that authority by which the Son of God and Son of Man said, "By my authority I lay down my life for you, and by that same authority I take it up again. I rise from the dead to declare your sins all forgiven." The faith Jesus calls great is one that humbly places itself under Jesus' authority. But it is also a faith that looks to God and fully expects God to act in his power. The centurion told Jesus, "Don't trouble yourself to come under my roof. I don't really deserve for you to do that. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Now, in the original, that "say the word" doesn't mean You know, if you decide to say the word, or say the word and I know it'll happen, it's actually a command. It's an imperative. The centurion said to Jesus, "Say the word. Say the word, and my servant will be healed." He understood the authority and the power in Jesus' word. To say it, and it would be done. Just as God said, "Let there be," and the universe came into existence. "Let there be," and living things filled the heavens and the earth. The centurion did not see things as being too late for his dying servant. And this man certainly knew what it was like for somebody to die, or he knew when somebody was near death. But he said, "It's not too late. It isn't helpless. From what I know about you, from what I've heard about you, what the Holy Spirit has worked in my heart, I trust that you will have compassion on my servant, and that by the power of your word, it's not too late. Things aren't hopeless." Not too late and hopeless are never things that we say in connection with God's word. They're never things we say in connection with God's power that he speaks to us in that word. And his faith was a little bit different, and this is part of what makes his faith greater, Jesus said, "than any I have seen in Israel." Think of Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, who had wonderful faith in Jesus. But then their brother Lazarus died because they thought Jesus got there too late. And they knew that even now, if Jesus wanted to, he could raise their brother from the dead. But do you remember what they said? "Lord, if you'd have just been here, our brother wouldn't have died." So even with their faith, there was that weakness of understanding that Jesus had to actually be present to do that miracle. The centurion had such great faith that he understood that Jesus didn't have to be present, that all Jesus had to do was say the word, and his servant would be healed. And that's what great faith does. That's what we want word and sacrament to do to our faith, to build our faith up so that we don't put conditions on it for God. We don't put certain circumstances or certain requirements upon God, that our hearts aren't filled with doubt. The pastor yesterday reminded the graduates at MLS that in this doubt-filled world, we have no doubt, based on their passage that they selected, we are convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. We don't have any doubt about God's love, or God's forgiveness, or God's presence, or God's care. We rely particularly on the power of God's word. The word of God is the word of Christ. We want God, through the word and sacrament, to grant us a faith like Samuel, who said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." We want the means of grace to give us the kind of faith that Peter had. "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net." And the Apostle Paul, chained to a prison in Rome, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." The faith that Jesus calls great is a faith that relies and fully expects God to use his power. It worked. God did use his power. The centurion's faith was not in vain. It was not for nothing. Here again, what happened when those who came to the centurion got back to the centurion's house, the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. The power of God's word heals the sick. It raises the dead. It drives out demons. The power of God's word said to the paralytic, and it says to us, be of good cheer. Your sins are all forgiven. As I mentioned, only Jesus could know the great faith in the centurion's heart, because only Jesus can see into hearts. But what a faith to nurture in our own hearts through God's word. Jesus, say the word. Not my word. Not the word that will accomplish my will. But your word. Your word that always accomplishes your will. We know that God will, by his power, grant us our urgent needs of body and soul. He has the authority. He has the power. He has the love. Amen.